Hey everyone, welcome back to Innovation Chat, episode 14 for May 6th. I have two guests with me, Steve.
Yo.
And Jero.
Hey, Fosh.
Yep, it's been a while since we did like a regular anime chat, but we're back.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
Yeah. But, you know, guys been playing some games and things come out, so.
I mean, it's a good point. It's, you know, after our season preview now, we've had enough time to sit and see some of these shows.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, at least what? I think last I checked, 5 episodes in.
Yeah, 5.
To the new season, our current season. I got some news, not much, but just some. Shirobako is getting an anime movie, which is pretty exciting. I mean, I like the original series. I'm curious what they're going to do, if it's a recap or it's going to be all new. But
yeah, it'll be an anime about making an anime movie. I'm excited about this, too, because I liked the first series. And they had been doing so many different like events over the course of the past year or two since the series has been out, and there's all, you're always hoping one of these they're gonna have like an announcement of a new season or something, and it would just be like a plain old event, but now we're finally getting a movie,
right? Or a stage play or something else, the usual.
Yeah, or a live action.
Right, they're always like, oh, new an announcement coming. You're always like, okay, what's it gonna be this time? Yeah. Attack on Titan Season 3 to run for 24 episodes, which I'm like, eh, that's fine. I don't really care for 24 episodes more of that, but it's fine.
I'm actually somewhat excited. I mean, again, Season 1, I think, of the show is one of the most overrated shows of all time. But Season 2 was actually really good. And, you know, and as long as I know I reread some stories that, you know, it's going to get to a part of the manga that's not quite as seen as quite as good. But, I mean, I'm hopeful. He said he wanted to make some improvements, change some things up. Maybe it will be better. Again, as long as there's no 3 episodes of them yelling about how to throw a rock at a wall, I think I can be pretty excited about it.
Right, yeah.
It'll be most curious to see what those changes, if any, to the series will be in Season 3. Because I've read some of the manga to this point, and there's nothing spoiler I'm going to mention here, but it kind of goes into a bit of a political thing between the more human characters, and it kind of steps. It's one of those things where it's kind of like, are there still Titans running around here? Because we're so focused on this political bickering.
Right, I remember hearing people at the time about the manga saying that's like the lull in the series where it's very, very boring, nothing really going on. And, you know, if you're not into just character stuff, then you're not going to give too cares about what's going on. But, yeah. Maybe, like you said, maybe the anime will kind of bridge some of that and kind of cut some of the episodes down so it's not every episode about that.
Right.
Hope so, anyway. And our last bit, Noragami manga to resume in June following its long year hiatus, which I never read the manga. The anime is so, I don't really. I guess there's a big fan base for it, obviously, so they bring it back.
I like the anime, and I think they did some course correction in Season 2, and I still thought it was a pretty decent series, but, you know, the manga coming back doesn't mean there's going to be more anime.
Yeah.
So.
Not for a while, at least, if anything.
I have no idea
about how close they were to the manga storyline, to anime, or anything like that. But it's good because there was an illness with one of the writers of the series, so they're healthy enough.
All right.
Yeah, so it's Hunter.
Right. Yeah. Long the hiatus.
Is that even on right now? Is it on hiatus?
It's back on hiatus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. He said it's back on. I was like, oh,
yeah.
And you're like, nice.
It's back on its regularly scheduled not appearing in Shonen Jump.
Right, which means he picked up the pen and was like, I'm going to do it, and then dropped it. Like, nah, I'm done. Walked off. Like, I can't do it now. jumping to our anime talks, I guess start with you, Jero. What's a series you're kind of enjoying for now for the, I guess this is spring? Yeah, spring season.
Yeah. High School DxD Hero. Wanted to talk a little bit about it. It's been pretty good, especially if you're watching the uncensored version, of course.
Yeah.
So it's kind of off to a bit of a slower start because we're basically on a school field trip with Issei and all the members of his class, including Asya, Sonovia, and a lot of the other school friends that are with him. But there's been some funny hijinks, like him versus Ross Weiss as he was trying to peek in on the girls, and then in the next episode, they increase security. And it turns out that he had girls in a closet with him that were just, like, taking off their tops and were just, like, wanting to get with him.
And using the angels as a nightlight. It was funny.
Yeah.
That was the best part of that mm-hmm. section. It's just him, like, she's like, I won't do anything, but I'll support it. And she turns the halo on. mm-hmm. I was like, wow.
Yeah. But the main thing that's going on right now is that they met up with group of people that are like a Fox clan, and their mom is missing, and so they're kind of looking for her now after they met up with these people, and so that's what's going to be going on for the next couple episodes, I would imagine. And all this time, it seems like Rios and Akeno and Kaneko might just be in the bath the whole time.
Yeah, I was wondering too. I'm like, is it the same? Are they still in there in the same spot, just hanging out whole entire time where they're on a trip?
Yeah.
But I think about the foxes, I'm like, yeah, this plus two or three to Heron, basically. That's what that
pretty
is.
Much, yeah. But it's been pretty enjoyable so far. Passione's been fine. I'm past kind of being concerned about them.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Are you enjoying the new designs, or do you like the old ones?
I do like the old ones. I think I'm getting used to the newer looks.
Yeah.
Like the hair colors are much more vibrant in the series than they were. I think there's like the lines are more like the lines are darker in TNK or TMS, whoever did the previous series, than here. The lines are kind of lighter and the colors are more out there.
They do look, character designs are more like, to me, more lively looking. They can do a little more expressions than they did before in prior series, but
right.
But yeah, I mean, obviously the main goal of the series is not their faces and all that other stuff. But I mean, I like the designs; they work pretty good. But yeah, after you've seen up to where we're at now, it's like you've gotten somewhat used to it. So yeah, I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all for that one, or
pretty much? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious where they're going with that one. I mean, I know they got this other rival team that they're gonna fight against eventually, and I did learn that the first episode, it was like a I guess a bonus episode. 00 was, I guess, what it was.
Yeah,
it jumps from, like, I think season four, like the last four episodes, it like basically takes place, replaces all that, so we get an alternate ending of this one.
Right. Yeah. They at the end of season three, we had talked about this on the preview, that they were doing some anime original stuff, and in season four, they're going back more toward the light novel storyline.
Right, yeah. All right, Steve, what's one show you're watching?
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and start off with two shows. Okay. I'm somewhat cheating the system, but I'm also kind of changing the rule up. Instead of talking about anime I enjoy, I'm talking about an anime that I'm surprisingly finding uninteresting. both of these shows, during the season preview, I highlighted have a lot of potential to be good, and that's Megalobox and Wotaku. It's one of those things where I feel like it had so much potential because I like the characters in both. Like, I'll kind of start with Megalobox. You know, Junk Dog or Joe now, you know, he's one of those characters that was kind of cool to watch, you know, and he had some pretty cool fight scenes, you know, starting us off. And then of course, in episode two, we had the big fight between him and Yuri. And of course, he got his ass kicked. And it's one of those things that they also introduced to the new character, Sachio. I think that was episode three. And so I kind of had potential, especially with the first two episodes, that this could have some cool fights. The characters are pretty interesting and fun, and, you know, of course, serious too. But, like, I feel like the potential of the show has really waned. I feel like the fights haven't really been all that good. Like, you know, they had some cool, like, you know, I think it was a couple episodes, like episode three, it was like he fought this guy with big and has this cool fight where, you know, his armor, can't remember what they're called anymore.
The gear.
Yeah. The gear broke and he had this cool moment where he punched out the guy, but that's really what the show has been. Cool single moments. Like if it was like, let's watch Joe get his ass kicked.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah.
Then let him do one amazing thing and win the day. And it's just like, eh, you know, and I just found the show not that interesting. And also another character I feel like is really holding it back is Nambu. Like, and he had so much focus on this last episode because it was him and I can't remember the name of his previous boxer, you know, was the guy he went to military that was super serious. And, you know, I respected the super seriousness aspect of it. But, like, Nambu just sucks. Like, I honestly was almost expecting Nambu to be a character that gets brushed off and Joe's like, I can't be this guy anymore. I got to go find a new guy. And he finds a new person, or maybe he got that old guy that originally fixed his gear to become his new ringside guy. And I was kind of almost expecting that. And then Nambu's like, no, I must do it. And like every time he's had a focus, I did not like Nambu. I just don't like him. Like, and I'm not saying I don't like him because the show is kind of making you say, oh, he's Weasley and, you know, you're not really supposed to like him. I'm saying I just don't find him interesting. I mean, there's certain characters on certain shows that are Weasley that I enjoy watching because they're intriguing. They're interesting me, or at least, you know, I kind of want to see where the story goes. Mm-hmm. Like with Nambu, I just don't care. I don't like him. He's uninteresting. Mm-hmm. Everything he does, like, you know. And even the super serious guy from the most recent, the last episode, the former military guy, even what they kind of gave crap on Nambu, like, oh, you saw he was dead, but you didn't go investigate why. I'm like, really?
Like, yeah, I was like, if you think you
think your dude is dead and you're grieving over it, and now he should investigate why? I mean. That's logical in every sense of the word, you know. I mean, I can get that maybe that this boxer guy, you know, thinks Nambu betrayed him, and maybe there was some grief. But like, it's just again, to me, it just as a character, and I just don't like him. I feel like he's holding him back. And again, I'm just it's kind of like I'm waiting for the moment Joe gets cool. And actually starts actually kicking ass and doesn't just keep getting his ass kicked and getting one lucky punch in pretty much.
Right.
I was like, that's what I wanted to see, and the show hasn't delivered on that.
I like the first battle that he was in where Joe was visibly nervous and shaking and kind of dealt with the nerves of being in a real competitive ring and actually trying to win instead of throwing like he had done in the early episodes. But yeah, Nambu isn't that great of a character, and him and Joe are kind of shallow, to be honest. They're literally characters that are coming up from nothing pretty much to compete, and unfortunately this arc with Nambu and the military boxer hasn't really made Nambu a more likable character. And Joe, you know, he's saying stuff to look cool and kind of, you know, get this guy riled up for a fight, but I'm not as high on the show now as I was at the beginning.
I'm disappointed he's banned his gear. I know why he's doing it, to get his name out there, but I'm like, that's the aspect of the show I kind of got interested in originally, just the guys using the gears to fight each other. But I know that I'll get back to it eventually, but it's like right now I'm like, I don't really care. Like,
it's like what you had tweeted out.
Kind
like
of bored.
The idea of man versus machine.
Right, yeah. That's just been done so many times, but better.
It's also,
other things that, you know.
It's also one of those things where I feel like what's going to end up happening is they're going to go back to him, like, once he actually gets his gear, they're going to find some advanced kind of cool gear for him, too. And that's actually something I don't like, either. Because, again, like, I kind of, like, thought maybe the appeal of this show is, you know, this guy using basically what would most consider junk gear to pull ahead, and now he's just going to get this super advanced gear, or probably, I'm assuming, you know. And I just feel like, again, that just seems a little, it feels like the show is just going to lose me that way.
Yeah, for me, I kept thinking that maybe he'll get so good that Yuri's sponsor will see he's got potential and give him the same gear that Yuri has and make it like this one for all, like everyone, they're all equal, big match to see who wins to be the company guy, I guess.
I doubt
that's
that.
That's why I see it. But yeah, I also see it the other way around, where they get his junk gear together again and he beats him with that. You know?
And then again, getting to Wotaku, whatever. I think, yeah, Wotakoi is the hashtag. But Wotaku as well, it's like, as a show, I felt like, ooh, this is, you know, I like the way they did things. I like the way they approached the couple aspect. And I figured that will make the show more interesting because we're not going to see, you know, a relationship. Again, it's not necessarily the first show to ever do this, but we're seeing like a relationship grow from once it started, and not just two people, you know, slowly fall in love and then confess. But I feel like the show has been so, like, it feels almost episodic in a way. And not even episodic wouldn't even be the best way. I mean, what's it called again when you have like four panel manga?
Four coma.
It almost feels four coma in a sense. Like every half episode is like a different short story, and none of them are really all that connected. And I feel like I'm losing mass interest in that too. Like, I feel like I thought it'd be really cool seeing, you know, not just the main couple, but the secondary couple we got with Kabakura and Hanako. I thought that would be an interesting couple, but like their fighting aspect, just, I don't know. I just don't find them all that interesting either. I feel like, oh, they fight a lot. Cool. It's just, again, I feel like a show that had more potential in its premise, but like as I watch it, I feel like I'm kind of sitting through it and not truly enjoying it. Again, the premise just doesn't quite sit with me, and I feel like they're not utilizing the characters very well and the story elements very well. So I feel like it's another show that's unfortunately kind of fallen to the wayside, because it's going to look like it would have so much more potential. Older couple working, you know, think it would hit home with me, you know, being around that same age and that same kind of lifestyle, but doesn't.
Right, I mean, I found that one. I mean, for me, I like the cast is likable, and end up enjoying it. The cast has been pretty okay so far, but yeah, I mean, I kind of agree that this, it's just kind of the same old every episode. They argue, there's a couple argues, they get put together, bam, and they repeat. So they've been doing that for a bit. I mean, even the main couple's kind of like, are they gonna stay together? Are they not? Because she keeps questioning it. Like every other episode, she keeps questioning, like, why'd you pick me for? You know, it's like, well, he likes you. And
I feel like Nifuji's his like deadpan emotionless self.
Right.
Like I felt like it had potential because we'd see him kind of grow. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe because we had those moments in that first episode where he kind of like, you felt like, oh, well, there's going to be more emotion there. And you can definitely tell there's emotion there, but I feel like his almost emotionless attitude towards everything, just, it got old. Like, that's the other problem. It got old. Like, I think Narumi is still pretty hilarious at times, and I do feel like some of the interactions they have and almost confusion, like, I think, like, one of the things I did find funny was in the episode where she was like, but I'm wearing beige underwear, and he heard pink and just assumed that meant she wanted a pink controller. And it's just, like, I thought that was kind of interesting, kind of the adult side of their relationship there, but I feel like it just wasn't delivered as well as it could have been. So.
Right, yeah, I mean, they kind of hit smart on some things. I did laugh at a couple of moments where they're talking, she's like, crying about anime. He's like, you're over 30, why are you crying about anime? I was like, oh yeah. My god.
Again, I think this show does have potential to get better, unlike Megalobox, which I feel is losing me quite rapidly, and I don't think it has time to recover. But again, it's just, for a show that I was high on after watching the first episode, actually I saw the first episode twice and I still loved it, it's just disappointing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'll stick around for maybe like the some of the jokes, but
Oh, I'm probably gonna finish
yeah.
it. Don't get me
Oh yeah,
wrong. I feel like
definitely.
Megalobox, I might not finish, but this show, I would definitely still finish because it's still easy enough to sit through. Like that's the big thing. Is this show? I felt like after watching the first episode, the show was easy. Even if it wasn't necessarily good, it was an easy watch. And I feel like that's the one thing the show still has going for it. It's still an easy watch. It's still like even if I don't find it quite as interesting. It's still like, I'll sit through it and then 20 minutes will pass by and I'll feel like, okay. Like Megalobox, a couple of times I was watching it and I was like, I go, how much time do I have left in this episode? Oh, another 10 minutes.
Right, I hear you. For me, I'd say I'm watching Hisako to Mousetown Town, which is a Bones anime, which it's weird seeing this kind of style, which is to me when I first saw like a preview, I thought Ninja Joe. That's 'cause it looks very a lot very similar character designs. They're not like the typical designs we usually get, but yeah, so it's about this Air Force team that they have these dragons that I guess can put on this armor, which is just the fuselage of a jet, whatever, and become a jet. So they're hiding, almost like a transformer, I guess you could say. So instead of a robot, it's a dragon that can do that. And the girls have to get like eaten by the dragon, and they pilot from the inside. It's a very very odd concept how they actually pilot, but I think that's kind of unique. Instead of just giving them like, oh, you sit in the cockpit. Yeah.
I think it makes for funny scenes when the dragon pukes them out. Just
Yeah.
a bunch of slime
But
covering them.
they kind of revealed in that latest episode that only he's only been doing it to the main girl. Everyone else just kind of gets out of the dragon normally.
Oh.
She's kind of confused, like what? Like why are they getting, why does that work for them and not me?
Like she doesn't taste good.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's pretty funny about that. Yeah, but yeah, they just introduced the main cast, so there's more girls, more dragons, and it's pretty interesting. It's definitely not for everybody. It is slow at some parts, especially in the beginning, when you're like, she's like, I'm gonna leave, and she she's not gonna leave. It's like, come on, you're in the main poster, you're on the front cover. So, but yeah, it's kind of got these cute moments here and there, but overall, it's pretty enjoyable.
Yeah,
I've
the
liked it so far.
comedy, the first episode, because we all watched that first episode together, and the comedy was something that really worked well, because I felt like all the characters were pretty hilarious in the way they did things. So I feel like that's the one reason why I definitely want to watch the show again. I'm waiting until it comes out all on Netflix, and then I'm just gonna, watch it on Netflix, kind of make it easy on me. But it definitely, like, I feel like as long as the comedy stays the way it was in that first episode, I can kind of stick with it for a long, the whole thing, enjoy it.
Yeah, it kind of has, especially when they've added the extra characters. Each of them have like these unique personalities, and they all act differently off each other, and it's been pretty interesting how they interact. So I'm curious to see how, what they, I'm more curious about the main overall plot of the series, like what is it really going to be ending up towards? But for now, I think it's just comedy, which if it's going to be that, it's fine. I'm fine with it just sticking that. I don't need a war to pop out of nowhere and that kind of stuff. So as long as it stays fun, I'll enjoy it.
Sure,
And
it'll start getting gruesome and just
because
like
yeah.
a made in the abyss. And next thing you know, we'll start them beating, shooting other little girls out of the airplanes and
Right.
stuff and destroying
Because someone told me that Mari Okada is working on that series,
them.
and she's always known for her little dramatic side and character deaths and stuff like that. So I'm like, what? But she's also done like some comedies and stuff too. So it's not all gloom and doom from her, but we'll see. I guess back to Jerry with the second show you're enjoying.
Next up, I'll talk about Grand Crest Senki, which I have been enjoying. There's always the this moment in when you have a new season of anime, like we did with Spring, where there's a lot of shows that I'm watching now. That some of these shows that are on Grand Crest's level, as far as like quality and level of interest, you get to a halfway point, and then you check out all these new shows, and then sometimes they kind of fall by the wayside, either through no fault of the show, or maybe it just isn't as interesting in the second core. But I think what
Or
they've
maybe a B-list love interest kind of throws the A-list and everyone gets super pissed off and sends death threats.
right.
Oh, yeah, from Darling.
More blue versus pink characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grand Crest has been going pretty good. They had a mini arc where Teo went to his homeland of Sestina and overthrew the Rossini family. That was a good little arc there. The negotiation scene at the end, it's one of the more janky parts of Grand Crest.
It's anticlimactic.
It is.
You were like hoping for this big cool fight, and then he's like, shake hands.
Right, yeah, because they're it's kind of like they have their pride, but then it's like they talk and it just magically like, Teo, I give everything to you now. It's like the plot just, it doesn't feel natural. It's kind of like the plot just decides we're giving everything to Teo now. We're giving control to him. And then this battle with Milsa that we saw in this last episode, it was really good. They've done some interesting things animation-wise for the past few episodes. They had a really cool one in episode 14 with the witch girl and Silica as mm-hmm. far as animation. And then this battle between Milsa and Teo, they do that that very fluid action.
We know what it is. What's it called again? It's
Sakuga.
Sakuga, yeah. It's something you tell in Shonen series where, it's like you can tell it's going to be an awesome fight when everything goes. And you could tell, especially in that last episode and all the animation change and the grass change. And you're just like, oh, that's going to be right. cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've done that with character close-ups early on in the series, but they haven't done it much with action until recent episodes. And that looked really cool. And the fight, of course, was good. And seeing Teo actually, shove a sword in the guy through the guy's throat and then twist it. It's like, all right, Teo's actually out here killing people.
To be fair, he's been doing that for a while.
Yeah. But to see him do it so ruthlessly to this enemy. And Milsa.
Milsa deserved it, to be fair.
And you got to think about Marine now. She basically laid down there and let him have her way, or let her have his way with him, and now he's gone, and there's not much left of what he offered to her.
It's one of those things where I've quite enjoyed this arc too, in the story. Again, I still kind of hold the whole position when I first started watching the series. I still find this whole feudal concept a little ridiculous and stupid. And it's just one of those things. It's like, it's people murdering each other for no good reason whatsoever. But I feel like this was the first time where, we're finally kind of getting good reasons for it. Early on in the series, again, it felt like they were fighting just because I want to get more powerful. But now we kind of have something, at least in this last few episodes, we had a couple enemies that we get, people that a kingdom that enslaved people, kingdom that, persecuted its own, and then this one for that subjugated, its mm-hmm. own people. So you kind of get I get behind Teo in fighting these people because it's, these people aren't good. But the one thing I will criticize, not the last episode or the previous one, but the one, or was it, maybe it was the previous one where they all got naked. I was just kind of like, that's a little ridiculous. Kind of funny, but mm-hmm. a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it was kind of funny when the other guys started taking off their clothes and joining, That part was, it made it kind of pay off well enough because it's kind of this kind of symbolism thing with nudity.
Mm-hmm. I still don't like Marina. I'm really hoping she meets a bad end. I doubt she will. Unfortunately, I know that the series will give us a bad end for her, but that would be nice. I would be supportive of that.
I
just don't like her character. I think she's one of those characters that just, her motivation is stupid. Mm-hmm. And, the way she goes about things, I still find just not worthy. And then the people she aligns herself with, not worthy either. Mm-hmm. So, You know, obviously, I hope the series does kind of build toward the whole. And that's the one thing I do like is the pace of it all. You know, Theo, or however you pronounce his name. You know, it's one of those things where the show is moving at such a pace where I feel like it's leading because he's now on the same level. He's like, you know, when the show first started off, he was, you know, little crest, and now he's got the same level of crest as Marine, so
yeah,
that's kind of cool to see, and I'm excited to see where it progressed the story from there. You know, I'd love to see him, you know, unite them, and then, you know, last episode he gets married to Silica, you know, something like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, comparing episode 1 Teo to episode 17 is quite different. You see drive in him in episode 1, but you don't see the strength that he shows off in this episode versus Miltza.
Even like that, I loved the way he at the end of the episode where, you know, Silica was hugging him, like don't ever do that again. And he's like, and like, justly so, he's like, there was no one else I wanted to defeat by myself. And you know, and the show built to that too, because early on when he first met him, you could tell it's like these guys were not having it. They had different thoughts. The only complaint I would have is I feel like the show is moving at such a pace. As I said, I like that it's moving at a pace, but it does feel like we're missing things. Because, like, the one thing I didn't like is at the end, like, they had this whole thing with him. And he's like, you used your crest to subjugate all these people. That's why you're worn out. And it's like, I missed that. What does he mean by using a crest to subjugate? Like, how does that work? And that would have been kind of interesting to see how that works. Because at this point, like, I don't really quite understand how the crests really work other than give people a banner to fight under. Does it make them stronger? I mean, I didn't quite get that.
Yeah, I guess it's like they're literally lending their strength to them, I guess.
Okay. It's just, to me, I feel like it's the one thing that's a little confusing, and it's probably, again, has to do with the fact this is a light novel series translated into an anime, so we're probably just missing things.
Yeah, I took it as, like, the more followers he gets, the more powerful they get. Kind of like the whole cliche anime thing, oh, yeah, more friends equals power for a lot of shonen series. That's how I took it as, but yeah, I guess maybe if you could force people to do things with it. That's what I thought you could do too. Like, command them to do whatever you wanted.
And there's another thing to mention. The reason why it's definitely going to finish is that I was just looking at it. It's actually a finished novel. It finished. The last novel came out in March. So it is a complete series. So the anime will adapt probably the full story, I'm guessing.
All right, good. The timing is just right then.
Nice.
But it just also to know it's 10 volumes. So they're essentially adapting 10 volumes into 24. So they're definitely obviously going to be missing something out, because two episodes per volume pretty much is a little hard to do, especially in an action series where there's a lot more fighting and stuff.
Right.
Steve, what's the next series you're enjoying? I'm curious ways to think about this new one.
So I just think this one, Full Metal Panic, Invisible Victory, has been firing on all cylinders, in my opinion. I honestly don't follow the community's reaction to this show, so I don't know what they think. But for me watching it, like, this has been, you know, on par with the second raid. Because it's actually even better than almost, because it's like this a culmination of story. And I feel like every episode things have been like, you know, on the first episode things got real, right? Like this last episode 4, you know, like the shit hit the fan, and it hit the fan permanently. Like, this is like lasting effects. Like, you know, Sosuke's come out to the entire class, you know, you know, what's her name? Akaname's friend got Kyoka. Like Kyoka. She got seriously injured.
She's had a bad week, I would say.
You know, pretty much like Mithril has taken a huge, you know, hit. They're pretty much on the run, defeated. And it's just, it's like. And another thing I find that actually coming into its own, one of my one complaints about the show was I was like, I did not see, you know, what I loved the first, or I loved the two seasons where there was, you know, actually a second rate in the first season where we actually had villains, because those two villains were iconic with like emotion and kind of like the thing. But I felt like Leonard didn't really have that side to him. But in this last episode, we kind of got like a peek behind mm-hmm. the curtain, like mm-hmm. he's holding himself back. And I was like, ooh, he can be an interesting villain. But like that whole episode was just so, like, it was like the whole last few episodes was so intense with Sosuke on the run, you know, even things like when we saw, you know, the grenade go off someone was shooting someone back in the town when they were running away, you know, there was someone that was actually injured on the ground, like some random bystander. And you could see Kaname's face go like, lose all the blood, like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, mm-hmm. random people are getting injured. And it's just like, again, like it feels so much more realistic right. in terms of like, it feels like the actual show is getting to that point. Not realistic. It's hard to be better. Yeah. Not a good way to put it. It's just getting serious. And like, it's keeping that serious tone and really ramping things up to a point where I'm really excited. And I feel like it's just been like the energy of the show has been so good. And like, even, you know, going so far as to, like, we commented on the first episode how they skipped the intro and the ending, but even the last episode, they skipped that intro just so they can get that extra minute and a half of time and, mm-hmm. you know, keep the show flowing so well. Oh, it's been absolutely fantastic.
Or as I always call it, when the opening and ending don't play, something's going down. always happens.
Yeah, I even felt a little omission. I forgot to mention this. Little heartbreak, poor Al. You
know, and then I was like, no.
I was like, not him, not Al.
Yeah, I was like, no, anyone but him. Kill Konami, not just kidding. But I like the last fight with I wouldn't call it a fight, more like a
getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, stomping by Leotis. But I like his mech. I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Can float and stuff. And like, oh, yeah, so good. Mm-hmm. The whole time I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, man, I really wish they could make a Zone Enders anime, because this mech is mm-hmm. cleaning up.
Yeah,
if they and then used to, you got beat, yeah. and then mm-hmm. good.
Oh, I was just going to mention about the mecha, all of the CG animation mm-hmm. that's been used in the series. For the most part, it's been okay. There are some shots that are a little odd. The car chase scene, for what they wanted to do with it, I thought it was good enough. It does look weird when it's only like they're the only two cars on the street.
It almost looked like it was it was not rendered bright. It was like thrown in there like last second.
Yeah, like
I mean, it did seem a little weird. Yeah, doesn't look
like pavement.
I think the sky was like purple almost. I don't know. I remember it was like very weird looking. And like you said, yeah, one car in the road. Like, I don't know. Okay. So I get Japan doesn't have a lot of cars, but come on.
Yeah, it's kind of that thing, like, you know, with 24, where Jack Bauer's getting across Los Angeles real easily because there's no traffic in LA. But
it'd have to be like 78 otherwise, because it'd be like, right. I spent 3 hours in traffic getting to this side to stop the terrorist attack.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, the show's been really good. The intensity, it's on a whole other level from mm-hmm. what we saw in Second Raid, and that was very dramatic in parts there. Seeing a lot. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna add. I feel like the reason why is because, again, as I was saying, it's like, you know, the shit's getting real because it's happening to the school and the where they live. Mm-hmm. You know, the Second Raid, most of the stuff that happened was, you know, off in China, or, you know,
right, yeah.
There was another location that was big, and it was like, you know, it wasn't really hugely focused in Japan as much mm-hmm. versus, like, it had a couple, obviously, when, you know, she was being tracked, Konami was being tracked at the end.
Right.
But again, the real fighting and stuff wasn't taking place in Japan. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like there's another thing is, like, the show, even when it was like back in season one of this series, you know, and the big, behemoth came in, it was in Japan, but it almost seemed cartoony at times, because, like, it didn't quite focus on, you know, after this happened, we didn't hear all these news stories. Hey, you hear that crazy behemoth thing that attacked the, you know, the industrial district? I mean, like now we're seeing this happen, and like even when the explosions are going on, you can see the reactions of all the people. It's just I like that.
Yeah, and I think all the scenes between Sosuke and Kaname have been great at building their relationship together, because
their complicated relationship.
Right. Yeah. Like it builds an attachment to those characters ending up together, because I think at the start of the season, we were talking about like Tessa versus Kaname, and now I think there's just really no doubt.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was just Amuro, because Amuro and his, well, it's got to be Tessa attitude. You know, it's one of those things where it's always been Kaname. I mean, anyone right. who wanted Tessa was just in living in denial. It's the problem with the people who always like don't realize who the main girl is. It's like no matter what, the other B girl's never gonna make stand a chance.
Yeah, Franks. Yeah. What?
Her scene was great in episode 3, Tessa's.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Let's just turn her in.
That was the best part. I was like, oh my god. She kind of jumped up to one of my favorites when that was like, I forgot how she was like that sometimes. Like, oh yeah, that's right. She is take no, you know, no prisoner's attitude sometimes.
Right.
And like how quickly that guy was like, oh, I was just kidding. But then he died. Right, yeah. Oh, I felt so bad for him later.
You can kind of tell those guys were going to die, though.
Yeah,
because it was like, all of a sudden, like, anytime they introduce a bunch of new guys, it's like, oh, hey, these guys are mech guys, too. You go, they either turn evil or they get killed. So,
yeah.
It's not hard to see.
The cliche, it's my last day, I'm going to retiring after this. Nope, you're dead. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I like it square. I'm glad it's back. And a side note, they brought back the original dub cast, which is what I remember listening to when I was watching it the first time back in the day. So all of them are back. And I'm like, well, some of them probably need work. But it's good to see, good to hear that they're coming back for that at least.
If they did not bring them back, I think the show would have suffered too much.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Like this show, I think, bringing it back so many years, you know, is one thing, but then bringing it back and like it didn't even skip a beat in a way that they didn't, you know, try to recap us or do anything, and they brought back all the cast. Just it had to be that way,
right? It kind of reminds me of X Super when that came back, but most of the original cast came back to do that too, which is like you can't do Dragon Ball without those people doing it. I mean, those original voices for the dub fans, anyway. So I could jump to my last show. Maho Shoujo's Site, which is another one of those Battle Royale Magical Girl series. And they're all, like, not technically put against each other at the beginning, but stuff happens where they're learning about this end-of-the-world plot, so they gotta, I guess, whoever gets the most weapons. Because each girl has, like a magic staff they use. And they, I guess, whoever has all of them. So I kind of, like, we're doing a little Infinity War in this series where they're collecting all these weapons and you can prevent the end of the world, I guess. Because there's like this death, something coming for Earth, and it's like a timer. So they have so long to get the weapons from all these girls. So I guess that's one of the side plots. They didn't really introduce many of them, but each weapon has like a different power. Like there's the main girl, she has blonde hair. She can freeze time with, I guess, her phone. So yeah, they're all different kind of items too, which is kind of interesting. The other girl she has a gun that can teleport you anywhere. So all she has to do is think about something and shoot you with it, and you teleport. Which she used in the first episode because these kids are bullying her and she teleported them in front of a train. So they got killed by a train. They're bullying her. So she was scared at the time and didn't know how the power worked and was thinking about a train. And that's where they went. So it's been interesting. I mean, it's really gruesome in some parts. There's a lot of blood, but that's what it is with Battle Royale type series. So.
Is this streaming anywhere?
I think Funimation. No, they don't. Yeah, they don't have it, but it's probably streaming somewhere. But I've enjoyed it so far. It's not doing anything different, not doing anything new, obviously. But I think the powers of the staffs are cool and how violent it can get.
You said Magical Girl Battle Royale. Is it like derivative of stuff we've seen before?
Kind of, sort of. It is something kind of interesting where one of the girls who was, I guess, one of the main bullies. her friends died and she got mad about it. So the person who's given the weapons gave the bully of the main girl a weapon, so now the bully has a weapon. So it's kind of interesting that they did something like that. But at the same time, they're doing the whole cliche thing where she's mean to the main girl, but eventually, you know, she's not going to be mean anymore. They're going to get to know each other and eventually become friends somewhere down the line. So, but yeah, other than that, it's kind of doing that so far. I like it.
All right.
It's interesting. And I guess that's really it. You got anything to talk about?
Hinamatsuri has been good. It's been funny. It's the easiest watch for me of the week when it comes out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if I'd say it's the easiest watch because it's on a season that has both invisible, Full Metal Panic and My Hero Academia.
But it's the one that I don't have to, like,
think
you
about.
Know, with Full Metal Panic, you got to get in the zone because, you know, you're going to be watching some good anime. With Hinamatsuri, it's easy to trust.
Chill.
And, yeah.
It's kind of like chill comedy. Yeah, I agree. And it's one of those things where I thought maybe the gags would get old, but, you know, did you see this week's episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
oh yeah, that, yeah,
you know, so many episodes in, they're still dealing with the whole bartending thing, but it was dealt with incredibly well, you know, with her friends trying to find her out, and then even the scene with the where her one friend was like teasing her in the bar, saying, "Repeat this," and you could just tell that Nita and I can't remember her name, the bartender, were just like Utago. Were just like cracking up, and you could just see that in their face, and then they all clapped at the end. It was just like, it was so well done. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I love Tina that whole time. She's just like, why am I here?
Exactly.
It was like,
even they were like, she's just the mascot.
Right. Yeah.
The lights was funny. I mean, like, they bought the TV, tried to sell it to the guy.
Oh yeah.
Like, so funny. That girl, I'm like, that poor girl, she's just getting roped into all these adult things she doesn't want to be a part of.
Even that, it was like that whole thing was hilarious. Like, the payoff was hilarious too.
Yeah.
Like, I think too many shows try too hard, or, you know, with the jokes. But in the end, like, you know, when she's like Nita is talking to Hina, and he's like, "What'd you do with the TV?" It's like, "I sold it for cab fare." And he's just like, "What?" And that's how it ends. It's like, okay. Right. Don't try to explain the joke. Just what?
There are a lot of times it feels kind of like for me, like a little bit of Gintama, like where there's a gag, they kind of run through whole episodes about that one gag, and it comes back at the end, and all, it's kind of got a little bit of that in there.
Yeah, and the faces too.
Like, yeah.
Some of the stupid faces they make. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I'd say the comedy on the show is just very well done.
Yeah. And I think I'm watching, you know, you guys are watching the Gundam Build Fighters, the new one. I like that one.
It's getting there. That one.
It's slowly getting there, but it's entertaining every week. Yeah, I know what I'm getting into. And I'm watching Comet Girls. That's also pretty good. Another cute show about cute girls. This one's about making manga. But that one's pretty fun. And
we have to talk about My Hero Academia, that one scene where... Deku's fighting the muscle guy, who is clearly, if not Bakugo's father, older brother, I'm guessing. The guy looks like him, but that one scene where he's just like, you know, 1,000,000%, you know, punch, and just like that whole scene was just, I was like, that I like, I had to rewind it and rewatch it, and then like this week's episode started off with it again, and was like, I'm like, you could show that scene for me, like you could start off the next four or five episodes with that scene, I'd be happy.
Funimation's been doing that. Scene was very hyped.
Funimation flipped that whole thing too and put it on their website. I'm like, they clearly know what people are interested in.
there was one funny moment this recent episode where, you know, he's looking for Kachan, and Deku tells Mandalay that. She's like, "Who's that?"
And then, of course, everyone in the class is like, "Oh,
yeah."
And the Red Steel guy's like, "Oh my god, my boyfriend's in trouble," because they're always shipping those two together. Other than that, I'm watching that horse anime, the Horse Race Girls, which is a weird one because PA Works is doing it. I'm like, PA Works, I don't know what you guys are doing, but. Maybe they're branching out to do other things, but
Well,
But yeah, I mean, and Sword Art Online, I'm actually, for once, I'm actually enjoying the new one, the Gun Gale Online. It's been pretty enjoyable. Even though I know, I bet you guys probably play like PUBG in those games. The first arc they've done is basically that. It's PUBG.
Although, so, it's PUBG in the stupidest way possible.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. I really enjoy the show, but the one thing I found really ridiculous and the thing I hated was just like, oh, we're going to do a team event. But it's like, one team's like 8 people big. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I get the idea that you can go in with just 2 people, because you always can just go in a, you know, minimum amount. But like, how is it remotely fair that one team is 8? You know, they had another team that was like 4, another team that was like 5 people. Mm-hmm. Like, that, like, if they did win, who, you know, it was completely obvious that those are the little girls when we first saw them. But like, if they did win, I would be like, they won because there was 8 of them. That's so unfair. Like, at least they could have made a rule like, you know, if there's only 2 of you, you get more life. 8 people has less life. But no, yeah, no, just, they had 8 people.
If you had 2, maybe you carry more gear. But yeah, it was a. I mean, they finished that arc of the first tournament thing. I won't spoil it, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Cool. I like it. It's just, it was annoying.
And I like the stuff in the real world where they run into certain people. I'm like, that was pretty funny. But like, yeah, I kind of figured it was them. The way they're acting, I'm like, yeah, that's them.
Well, it was kind of stupid that they figured each other out. Like,
yeah, it was a little. But I was like, eh, it's all probably for good fun.
I have a question about Sword Art, and this is going to show how little attention I pay to it. Are they past the point of being stuck in a game?
Yeah, they're done with that.
So that
like happened actually like what 2/3 of the way through the first season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then because that's what happened. It was like 2/3 of the way through the first season, they broke out of the game finally.
Before the fairy arc,
and then they did the fairy arc where one of the what's her name was still actually technically trapped,
mm-hmm.
And then after that, season 2 had to do with the gun game, and then what was it after that? Wasn't there something after that?
They did a movie.
Okay,
where it was like in the real world, you could throw on your headset and you play the game in the real world.
But yeah,
where you are, yeah.
But the big thing about the gun arc was that there was someone apparently killing people in the real world while playing it, making it look like the guy in the game was killing people. So,
again, this
show, you don't have to really watch any of the previous seasons. And that's what I think what makes the show actually good is it's taking its own vibe towards thing. And there are definitely plot points I can guarantee you, like what Pito is definitely that girl, the idol girl that the one girl imagines.
Yeah, I keep saying the same thing too.
It's so unbelievably obvious. But
it's either her or the little blonde girl I keep showing in the opening. She has like same. She's the same height as the main chick.
No, it's definitely the main. Because they even said it. She said it like, I can't come on this date. I've got something to do. And she it's said, like that's the same like, date as the concert.
She's like, I had a wedding to attend or something.
That's what she said, but it's right, very clearly the concert. I don't know who M is, but I found him.
Yeah, I don't know who he is either.
Probably like the manager or something of whatever her face is.
Yeah, the character switch was funny on him. He's this big macho dude, and then suddenly he just snaps and he starts crying like a.
Like, people will kill me in the real world.
And she's just like, what? What are you. And I was like, well, yeah, it makes sense. Like you said, his name's M. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the manager, like you said.
Yeah.
And he's being forced to play this game because obviously she, you know, is probably more dominant over him in the real world. Yeah, it's funny.
It's definitely good, though. This is actually, like, when I sit down, like, I'll sit down to watch shows, right? And I'll be like, there's certain shows that I like, maybe I'll let stew a little while. Like, I might not necessarily get to 3D Konojo or even, like, Tokyo Ghoul. I might not get to that right away. But, like, in terms of shows that come out and that I definitely want to watch the day of, like, you know, to me, this is actually one of those. You know, I enjoy sitting down and watching this after I watch My Hero Academia. You know, it's an enjoyable show to watch afterwards.
Yeah, I think what helps is they didn't put like a serious plot on it and making it more, it's like loose and fun. Like Pito is just playing the game for fun. Same with, you know, Lynn and Karen, They're she's just playing for fun. They're not playing it to be the best of the best. They're just playing for fun.
And I like her character.
Science.
That's the other thing too. Like, you know, her motivation, like in that last episode, she's like, oh, like you know, it's time to kick some ass. And then like when she got angry because Pi Chen got destroyed and she pulled out the knife and just started
Oh
stabbing
yeah,
the
she
girl.
went
I was
like
like, yeah.
crazy. Yeah, I like that part then. Like,
That was pretty funny.
yeah, I'm glad she's not like this cowardly. Oh, I don't have any skill, but she's actually has some pretty good skill.
Yeah, and
It
that's his
helps that
motivation to do well.
it helps that Pito's kind of trained her too a little bit to
Yeah.
take care of herself in the game, because they use the whole cliche. Well, they're not very many girls in the game.
Even
I was like,
still,
yeah, I
even
guess.
before she was taking care of her, I mean, she
Oh
was
yeah,
sitting there, you know, the devil of
that was funny.
the pink devil. I mean, come on, so.
And they all like finally realized who it was. Like, that's her. Yes, of course. But that's pretty much it right now. I mean, I'm actually watching Tokyo Ghoul, which I'm not a big fan of, but it's been okay. A little confusing at times. I'm like, wait, wasn't that guy and this guy? I'm like, I don't understand what's going on.
I've been at least enjoying the last couple episodes because it's been more action based, but you are right. It feels like, and this is the
It's
large complaint I see about the
very confusing.
anime, is they say that the biggest complaint, the biggest difference between the anime and the manga is that the manga, all the motivations and all the story details make a lot more sense because they explain why certain groups are doing certain things and why, you know, things are happening the way they are. And the anime kind of just goes, here are the ghouls that you remember that you kind of thought were good
Yeah,
guys.
I was like,
They're
wasn't that guy
not
good? Yeah.
quite that good. You know, he's still technically a ghoul that wants to eat people.
Yeah, and I was just so confused on a bunch of things. I'm like, this character I know, I remember, like the guy was wearing a mask. He has like these his half his head shaved. He was selling the slaves. I'm like, wasn't that guy a good guy? Like, what's
I
going
know. He made
on?
the
Like,
masks for the ghouls, and
yeah, I was like,
you again, I feel like we get behind the I guess we because we keep forgetting because like the Antiku group, like the I think that's what the name were, or
right.
whoever the tea group, the guys that ran managed the tea the cafe place. Or,
As I call them, the knockoff Akatsuki. That's
yeah.
what I call them.
Like, well, no, not them. I'm talking about the cafe guys. The guy
Right, the cafe
the
people. Right,
owl that was the leader of it, you
the
know,
old
like
man.
they were considered the good guys.
Right.
And I think we often forget it because they were associated with the guy that made the masks. I feel like we forgot the fact that, again, he's a ghoul that eats people and he's not necessarily associated with them. He was just kind of like, I guess, friends or he met and like they helped
Associated
him
with
out
them,
of it.
maybe.
They're not actually, he's not a part of that group that has those same attitudes of like, we shouldn't kill and eat people. So I guess it was just like a large confusion thing. And maybe this is like, this season's a bit of a reality check. Like, guess what? These guys are still technically evil. Even if they're not quite as bad as the, you know, real bad guys from the second season of Tokyo Ghoul. They're not quite those guys who want to, you know, take over.
Because there's one question I had. There was a kid with, like, I know in season two, he had white hair. He had all the red stitches all over his face. Now he has black hair. Is that the same character or is it someone else?
It's the same character.
Okay, because they changed his hair color
Again,
from white to black, and now
it's a couple years. He's a couple
he's not
years
the same
older.
either. Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
And keep in mind, like, that was one of the plot points. He was actually in season one. You know, but that was one of the things from season one to season two. You actually saw his character grow. Because, like, he used to be, like, this, like, you know, bullheaded, I can do whatever I want kind of character. And it feels like and it was his relationship with can't remember his name. It was one of the characters that got killed off. Yeah, he had a relationship with him, and like it felt like it like when that episode where he got killed off, it felt you could see his character grow, I guess, kind of like mentally. And so I feel like this is kind of like this is what he'd be like if he wasn't this crazy, insane kid that did whatever he wanted, but
Yes, he
instead
thought
actually
things through.
is more mature and can
Right,
kick
yeah.
some ass and think some things through. And that's I kind of respect that because again it
Yeah,
shows character growth. And
I like
even
that. Yeah.
I can't remember her name, the daughter of the guy who that got killed off, the inspector that's now wielding his sword.
The Annie clone, I call her,
Yeah, like
which is like her.
she's grown too. Like Juzo, Suzo. Mm-hmm. No, Suzo, that's the other guy. Whatever. Like she, you can tell she's grown too, and like in the way she acts, because now she's a little more like I'm gonna kick your ass kind of attitude, which before she wasn't really like that. She was just kind of like, she almost had no emotion. So
yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. The only character I don't like is Yuri. His inner monologue stuff is annoying. Like, oh, I hate this guy. I'm like, shut up. Like, I hate that character so much.
He's a typical guy that I want approval. I want people to know exactly. I'm out here doing cool things and stuff. Saving the day.
I kind of I don't necessarily like his character, but I like what they're doing with his character. Like, he's not a team player. Like, too many shows, they'll have like these team systems and they'll just be like, yeah, one guy might be stubborn and, you know, he might be the guy that gets, you know, hot-blooded, but, you know, he still overall has, you know, the thought of the team behind him. Like, he cares for the team. But this character, all he wants is to move up the ladder. So that's the one thing I like, because like, it's a different type of character. Yeah. He's not just there to do things. He's like, he's not, he doesn't love the team. Maybe he will later in the season, but I do respect that. That's what I think is more interesting about him. Cause he provides, he adds a layer to the series. So,
and then you got Psycho, which I don't think she even fits the series in my opinion. The lazy otaku girl, I'm like, is she from another anime? Like, is she lost? Like, I don't think she fits in the group they have.
I feel like we haven't quite seen. Like, because she hasn't really done much in the show.
Yeah, she has. She really hasn't, yeah. Maybe. I was just like, man, why is she, like, she's interesting, but it just seems like an odd twist of character to throw in there.
Yeah,
I like, isn't Tokyo Ghoul supposed to be more, like, serious? Like, I don't remember there being this goofy comedic element they've thrown in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Again, this is a show that, again, if you read the manga, you probably hate to the death, so... I'm willing to give it more of a chance, see where it goes.
And then the last thing, Toru is very confusing. Like, his eyes look so good in a skirt. Like, oh my god, Toru. Mm-hmm. When they were all cross-dressed, I'm like, why do they all look so good? Character designer, I guess, had a lot of fun. But yeah, I guess that's it for this. Anyone last thing to talk about? Last show?
We've kind of talked about like 6 or 7 shows now.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess if that's it, then we'll end this here now. Guess we'll see you guys next time for another InnoVision chat. Cold.